Morning. I'm very happy. Them joggers. Yeah, so. Every year I visit the Isle of Skye in Scotland for 2 weeks of adventure and photography. Join me as I explore the island, looking at wondrous waterfalls, massive mountains, sumptuous seascapes, and creepy castles. Coming up on Tales from the Magic Box. Morning, everyone. It's Sunday, and I was supposed to be going to the store today, but I didn't because the weather said it was going to be rubbish. Well, guess what? It's not. So I didn't go. And now, maybe I regret it, but looking at the horizon over there, there wouldn't be much of a sunrise. It's all just clouds, so I wouldn't have got that lovely glow. But on the other hand, I would have been up there now, which is rather the point, I guess, when the light is good. But you know, you make these decisions. So I'm going on Tuesday. Tuesday is going to be the last chance I can go, really. So instead of going there, the weather did say it was going to be nice this afternoon. So my plan is to stick around here, grab some shots that I want to get, and I've been meaning to get, and I just never have. And then go somewhere this afternoon. Not exactly sure where, but I'll think of somewhere. I've got this lovely bit of coast, and there's lots of things, there's always lots of things that I keep meaning to get pictures of, and I never do. So I'm going to try doing that today. There's a couple of things I noticed the other day. Flipping heck. A couple of abandoned buildings and just things lying around that I want to get pictures of. But there's also a couple of beaches I want to visit and viewpoints I want to explore for next year. So it's going to be a bit of a mixed bag today. But we'll see how it goes. So I'm a bit unsure now what to do today because the weather's so sunny. The problem is it's really early, so it's too late to go anywhere and have it to myself, but it's too early to just write places off. I think if I just spend the morning around here, I can fill up my day. I mean, I could fill up my 2 weeks just staying around here. But there's a number of things I want to get, and I think today's the day of getting them. One of those things is a view of the Cullen Mountains, the Black Cullen and the Cracked Peak, which I can see from here. It's actually not far away, but it's like a 40-minute drive away, or a 2-hour walk. So swings and roundabouts on that one. But I would like to get a picture of that, but that needs to be sunset really, and there's kind of a good viewpoint for it. It's just seeing if this weather holds up. I mean, there's still a bunch of clouds there, but don't seem to be doing much. So there's that. There's a beach on the way to Elgol, which I've never been to, which I quite like to see. Just to find, really, not necessarily to photograph. Might take the Holger and it's a nice evening. But there's that one. I was going to go back to Eas Mawr, but I don't think I can be bothered. It's just a long way, and I kind of want to be by the sea. There's the store, obviously, which I'm doing on Tuesday, but it's a separate thing. There's a, like I said, there's a couple of things up the coast on the way to Uig, an abandoned post office and Fingal's Cauldron. Two things I'd quite like to grab, but again, that's driving up the coast and then walking a little bit. So there's a few things I could do today, a few of them. Just depends which ones I want to feel like I can do. Fingal's Cauldron is a drive. It's going to be about 20 minutes, half an hour maybe. And then the post office is a bit further up. So it's a drive, but it will be worth it. And I could do that this afternoon when the sun's come around and is on that side of the thing. And then on the way back, I could drive down to the mountains and get the picture of those mountains. That seems like a good idea. So, first pinhole composition here. There's a... I'm on a little beach now near the cottage. There's a very old slipway and a seagull who doesn't seem to know what's going on. He's having some kind of stroke. What's it doing? It's like moving its head around like it's lost. Hope it's not hurt. Okay, buddy. He's obviously very confused by something. See, there's been an avian flu going around. Oh wow, cool. This boat's in the lock. That is cool. So, back to this composition. This first composition is a slipway running into the water here. And it's old and knackered and broken. It's literally just a big line of rocks. And a number of years ago, with my very first DSLR, my Olympus OEM 55 something or other, I can't remember what it was, EM20, tiny little DSLR, I came and I tried to photograph it and failed miserably because I didn't know what I was doing. And I've never been back to get it, so I'm back. The tide's out, the water's calm. That means I'm going to get a decent reflection of the mountains in the background. What is that mountain called? I can't remember. It's part of the Red Colinza. That's because they're red. Well, they're pink. And it's going to be a strange kind of shot because of the... freaking awesome nature of my strange finder camera. I'm only on frame 4. Wow. I'm rubbish at taking pictures this holiday. So I'm just going to plop that. I'm going to point it down a bit. I could get a bit closer to the slipway, I suppose, but then I'd lose some of that reflection. There's some lovely... in fact, this might be an OM10 shot as well. Do you know what I didn't bring? Filters, coloured filters. I'll have to grab them on the way back. I notice that I've been shooting very wide lately with this camera and not zooming in a bit, which is stupid because I could have just brought a 28mm lens and just used that. Right. That's only get a bit over here. What frame am I on? 20. Might need to grab another roll of 35mm film. That's good. Bird right in the middle of the shot. Yeah, it's all good fun. I've noticed I've been doing that thing as well where you take the same picture with different cameras, which is pointless. Utterly pointless. Right. Oh,
just throw my light meter around. Do these work? Right, what film I put FP4 in there, didn't I? So it's going to be a short exposure time today. It's going to be 10 seconds. Bright sun, should have known. Okay. So, this is thing and thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I can't remember whether I wound this on or not. I believe I did, but I just can't be sure. Oh man. Right, I'm going to retrace my steps from 9 years ago, because I brought my EM20, whatever it was, I brought that down here and I walked and I photographed this old slipway, jetty kind of thing, and then I walked down here and there's a couple of boats dug into the thing, but I won't get them because there's better ones later on around on the other beach. And I walked over here, and over here is an old rusted pulley mechanism for pulling the boats out of the sea. And it's not an easy one, this one. Ooh, jellyfish. It's not an easy one to photograph because it's shrouded in greenery, but the good thing is that the angle of the sun means that the light will be on all the detail. So, with any luck, we'll be able to get a good... There's tons of jellyfish. What happened to all the jellyfish? Must have been washed up on the high tide. And then, after I've done this, what I'm going to do is head around the point there. And there's some cool trees. And when I was out with Dante the other day, I found a very cool tree. And I thought, I'll have to go and get that tree. So, I'm going to go and get the tree. Here we go. Perfect. So I need to get the tripod to its smallest setting. That seagull is still there, really struggling. It's like going around in circles. When I saw it close up, it was moving its head around like it couldn't see or something. Poor thing. So I'm going to get right down, really close. There's some writing on this. I don't know whether you'll be able to read it. Oh, that tripod release plate's the wrong way around. Kind of hope some poor, or some hungry seal comes and eats that seagull. So it's part of its misery. Right. I think I'm just going to do the same exposure time. Although it's a bit darker this scene. Maybe I'll do 15 seconds. I'm just going to move it so the mountain's a bit more in the background. It's hard to tell. Oh no, because I'm losing some of that right. It's okay, the background's okay. Background's not really the point. Pinhole photography is the best. So, 1, 2, 3, oyster catcher agrees with me. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 14, 15. That may have been slightly overkill, but you can never be too careful, especially with FP4. It can be a real bitch. No, it can't. It's beautiful. It ignore me. Right, so I'm ticking things off. Blinking heck. I do this. I just walk around or drive around and notice things. And every time I drive past, I think, oh, I'm going to get that one day. And then I never do. Anyway, I'm going to go for a bit because it's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes to walk around there. So I'll catch up with you guys when I'm around there. And I'll tell you what I'm doing with this tree. Okay. I'm here. Well, I'm not one of them. There's another tree quite a bit further on. But I'm here at the first one. I don't know what variety of tree they are. I think they're birch trees, but I could be completely wrong. And they're great because they're just such interesting shapes. And they grow all twisted and strange on this part of the coast. Now, the one that's around there is slightly better because you can get underneath it really and look up, but this one's good. The only problem I'm having is now, I'm thinking about, is the sun is right above us. And it's probably going to do that weird thing where it crackles and goes mental. But I think if I keep this shot portrait, then it should minimise some of that. So I've got this wonderful root right in front of me. And I'm going to just point the camera up at this tree. That might just get a little bit of height going on. Yeah, there we go. Move over a little bit. Just a little bit, that's it. So I want this root to kind of reach out at the viewer, at you, and the rest of the tree to kind of be in the distance. So I'm just going to do 10 seconds again because it's really bright. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, 1 year, I should just bring this camera and no others. I think I use it most. I like to think I use it most. It's blinking warm is what it is. It's going to be 20 degrees today, I can tell. Poor Dante's going to be going out of his mind. Being warm, I'm going to take this. I've got a fleece on, mainly to protect me from the midges, but they're not too bad down here by the sea. There we go. Put this in the top of my bag. I forgot to mention, and I forgot to mention this, because I didn't do a what have I brought thing this time. I just kind of launched into stuff. Because you know what I brought? I just bring the same stuff everywhere. I brought the point and shoot wide pick panoramic thing. Just because I can fire off tons of frames and the images do actually look quite nice when you don't look at them too closely. So I brought that and I put Kentmere 400 in it because I was looking for something cheap. I didn't want to shoot colour. I've got a roll of colour at home that I haven't developed yet. So every now and again I just whip it out and just point at things. So there's a lovely reflection in the water over there looking towards the quarry. Nice. And then here there's like a vertical one. Vertical panoramas are not something I do enjoy really, but they do look quite nice sometimes. And that was good because I've got like a curve in the seaweed on the shore and it just lines up nicely with the mountain and the mist. They're not going to be amazing pictures, but they are just going to be a bit of interesting extra paraphernalia. Right, I'll walk down, I'll get this tree, and then I'll retreat for a cup of tea before I wake up Dante from his slumber and head out again. Now this, I've not put the strange finder back in the bag, I've just still got it on the tripod. This walk down here is perilous because of all this cracked limestone can shift at any moment. And the tree I want is over there. Right, I'll let you know when I'm there.
If you've got any comments, questions or suggestions, you can email the show at talesfromthemagicbox@outlook.com. You can also find us on Instagram at talesfromthemagicboxpodcast. I also now have a zine available on Amazon. It's the Strange Finder zine, and it's the best images from the first 3 years of using the camera. It's £12, and it is available as print on demand, so you can just order 1, 10, or 100. That link for that is in the show description. If you want to listen to the extended version of this episode, you can head over to Ko-fi page, and for a very small price, you'll be able to access the extended version, which is considerably longer and has a lot more fun stuff in it. Anyway, back to the adventure.
Glad I turned that recording off because I almost just slipped and died. Put my foot on an angled rock and just went. Right, I'm at the tree now. It's marvellous. And I can get a nice long exposure on it. Like I said, the good thing about this one is I can sit underneath it, point the camera up. And it's just lovely, dappled, beautiful light. So I'll do this and then I can go back and then that's good. I'm going to do this a landscape because the tree's stretching out and it kind of needs that kind of landscape look. I'm quite far away, so I'll get a lot of it in. I'm going to do this one 15 seconds. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. There we go. Now I've got one frame left on there, so I can use that. And then I think I'm going to do something that I did last year and I've not done again. I think I'm going to swap out this FP4 for some Metropolis, because I really liked the way that looked. And the light's not exactly right for it now, but it's not bad. And hopefully it'll just add a little bit of a colour kick to some of these scenes, because it's very colourful out here and there's some lovely colours in the stones on the beach. There's lovely greys, whites, yellows, browns, some of the seaweed is red, and I think the Metropolis might just pick some of that stuff up really well. Also, lots of the old fishing equipment that's left behind, they're all rusty, so the Metropolis will pick up that rust and it'll contrast really nice with the blues and the greens. Yes, so that's, I think that's going to be my next idea. Right, that's me done for a bit. I'll come back to you when I'm out there. Right, it's a couple of hours later. I am fed, rested, and some clouds have come. So the day is looking a bit more promising in terms of photography. I'm currently walking down to the first beach of like four beaches, and yeah, there's I had to go through a lot of thistles to get here. I didn't have to, but it cut out a 20 minute round trip, so we did. Got nettled, but it's fine. Just every now and again need to keep checking for ticks like that one, because once they're on and they're difficult to get off. And I need to trip down to in a minute when we're on the rocks. So yes, I'm almost down, and the sun is arcing around the sky, quickly racing towards those clouds. So any minute I'm gonna lose the light but gain drama, which is good. My only wish, if I could wish for one thing today, it would be a little bit more movement. There's a very faint breeze, the clouds ain't moving very fast at all, and what I could do with is some warp speed clouds, Captain Kirk style. But I'm not going to complain because the clouds are fantastic. Just right for some pinhole action. So my first composition is to my right here. There's a tin shed on the top of this hill, and my idea is to have this kind of in the foreground with the mountains in the background. And ideally I would like a little bit more light, but I'm not concerned because the clouds are going to add some drama. My only problem is there's a bit of rubbish in front of this thing, and that's gonna, well, maybe it won't. If I plonk myself on top of it, it won't knacker it up so much. So I've got one frame left of FP4. The hell was it? Sheeps. Not sheeps, something else. Never heard sheep make that sound. No, it is sheeps. Yeah, I'm going to use my FP4 here, then I'm going to switch over to the Metropolis and use that, because this shed is deliciously rusty. So I'm just pointing it at, I'm going to get a little bit closer. I don't want to cut out the mountains, but I kind of need to be careful of where I stand. Actually, I need to be right on top of all this rubbish. It wouldn't be so bad, but there's an old window frame and it just will change the composition too much. So here is a good place. I'm getting in all of the thing and all of the mountain, so that's good. I'm just going to re-meter because I'm just not sure, and I want to be sure. So the mountain there is 12, the thing there is 13, the side is 14, everything's around 12 and 13. So if I put 14 as the brightest part and 12 as kind of the darkest part, that gives me some leeway so 12 I'm putting on zone 4. Yeah, that works, so that's 5 seconds. It's really bright now, so I'm not surprised it's that short. Okay, so the last frame on this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that's that. As they say, Dante's just lay down like a good boy. You are a good boy, aren't you? The sheep look really good, and I want to try and get some black and white images of them on the rocks, which is a bit cliched, but tons of fun. And there's a group of sheep that sit on a ridge just there, and if I can get them with the... It's a bit of a shame because the mountain was better this morning for this, but it'll still look good, I think. Right, how brave do I feel? Do I think this is fat rolled? I hope not, because I'm about to take it out. It... hasn't. Much. It has actually. Rats have just ruined it. It's okay. Salvageable. Right, that can go in this pocket at the front, nice and dark. Out of the way. So, dropped my spool. Let's get the Metropolis out. I almost forgot this, I had to go back for it. It's just come out of the fridge as well, so it's nice and cool. This can be exposed at a variety of ISOs, from 100 to 400. I wonder what would happen if I exposed the ISO 50. I don't know. If I remember rightly, the numbers on this are pretty strange. And it's weird that I've only ever used this in this camera. I've never used it in the Holga or anything. I think I brought it to use in the... I brought it to use in this. And this is still from a couple of Christmases ago, when I got this. Right, let's just make sure it's all seated. Yes, it is. This is going to be spooky. Right. Okay. I always get nervous unloading in broad daylight like this. It freaks me out no end, but don't think, just shoot. But with these pinhole shots, a little bit of light leak isn't that much of a problem because it's pretty hazy and weird anyway. Okay, frame one. Okay, what do we say, 5 seconds? There we go. Dante, come on. Here he comes. Da-da-da-da-da. Now, if I shoot this with the river in the shot, with the strange finder, everything's going to get a lot smaller, so I need to find a bit of the river, which is going to be a good bit of foreground, preferably the one without the dead sheep in it, which means I'm going to have to cross the river, and it's going to be cold and uncomfortable. And where do I get up? I get up there. Okay, here we go. So this is where the fresh water from the mountains meets the sea, and it's all slimy and slippery and cold. Oh, but made it. Oops. This shot's good because I've got like a tree in it as well, but it's also not good because, like I said, everything's going to be really far away. I'm going to have to go stand down there in the water. That's what I'm going to have to do. Oh, rather the tripod is. No, I am, because if I stand here in the water and just get a bit lower, I can get, if I stand there, I could get the tree's reflection. I don't want to use all these frames, you see, because it's a good film, is this. If I stand here, yeah, I'm cutting out this dead sheep. Have to get even lower because I kind of want the reflection of the tree. I'm losing the barn, but I'm not losing the mountain, but I am losing all that delicious foreground detail. No, I need to get really low to get the tree reflection in. I don't know where to stand for this one. This is puzzling me. I could stand over there and get this little beech in. Yeah, I'll do that. Cut my losses. Whoa. You've got to have a foreground, otherwise none of it works. And this works. Okay. Did I wind on frame two? I did not. Scarily, it sounds like this film has unwound inside the camera. That probably means I'm going to get a fat roll. I'm doing this one portrait. And I'm kind of pointing down towards ground. Okay, 5 seconds. That was more like 7, but that's perfectly acceptable number of seconds. Okay, you know how over the last 3 episodes the Strange Finder has defeated all of the cameras and they have paled in insignificance compared to it. Well, this week is pure Strange Finder madness and it's awesome. There's so much good stuff here. I do need to find some of it though, because they're all here, that's fine. Now, before I get into that, I would just like to say that I did get a really nice 617 image, and it's the one of the postbox and the house and the mountain, and it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous panoramic image. The light is beautiful. It is pin sharp. Everything about it is perfect, apart from it's got some awful light leaks all over it, and it's so sad, and I don't know why this is happening. But because this is the only image that seems to have survived, what I can kind of do is try and pinpoint where these light leaks are coming from. I don't know how this happened. I think this is the best one because I moved it on pretty quick. It's not fat rolling. It's got nothing to do with that. There just must be light leaks in the box. So what I'm going to have to do is just start taping it up. I'm going to do some more testing when I get a moment and look for the light leaks. But it's such a shame because this image is so beautiful and would be so beautiful if there weren't light leaks all over it. The tree, the house, the phone box, the post box, the mountain, the light, everything is just gorgeous. It frustrates me so much. So I'm going to investigate further and see why that's happening. But just to let you know, that's the only other image I got. Anyway, Strange Factor. Every single frame, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Should be 8. But anyway, every single frame is gorgeous. I use the Metropolis for this, and it's just beautiful. Now, I do remember, and I did record it here, some of these frames were on FP4, I think, and I've no idea where that roll of film is. I've not developed it.
can't find it. I don't know where I've put it. I have a feeling it might be in a pair of shorts somewhere. But it's December now and I've not looked at my shorts for months. So I don't know. The image of the loch and the mountains where that crazy seagull was, no idea where that is. But the rest of them are all here and they're all pretty fab. So I'll go through them one by one. Not in the order that they're in, I'll just go through them as they're appearing on my screen here. Although I could go through them in order, I can go around the headland. So I'll start with the winch, because that's the next one when I put the roll of film in. No, it's not. That's way after that. Oh my goodness, where are all these pictures? I put the roll of film in at the shed. I'm missing. No, because there's the tree. This is strange. I must have developed it and not... I'll have a look. But anyway. So the shed, or the tree, I'll do the tree first since that's technically the first one. This is the roll of film with that lock on it and I've no idea where it's gone. The tree is really cool. It's a very contrasty image and it probably didn't work as well as it could. But the tree is very cool and it's lovely and twisty and gnarly. And the grass in the foreground is in detail. It's a bit, because it's so contrasty, it loses a lot of that detail and depth. But it kind of works as an image, even though it's very busy. Maybe on a different kind of day it would work, or maybe in some mist would be quite nice. So that one's okay. The next one is the shed. And the shed it's lovely. The clouds in the background are just brilliant. The mountain in the background is great. You can see the strips of tin or steel sheeting and the rocks on top of it, and it's just got a lovely look to it. But even better is the colour one, because the colour of Metropolis is a bit subdued. It's not as poppy as other ones. So the grass is kind of subdued and the sky is kind of subdued. You can see the rust on the side of the shed and the shadows are all gorgeous. Oh, it's just beautiful. And the clouds are kind of moving a little bit. There's a lovely energy to this shed image, even though it's a static image. I don't know which one I like better, the black and white or the colour one. The black and white one's definitely got something about it. Looks a bit more mysterious. But these colour ones are just sublime to look at. Anyway, the next one is going to be looking at the river, the edge of the river, looking, well, it's not really a river, it's just an outlet to the sea, looking up towards the mountains there. And again, the rocks are gorgeous. They're looking through the water at the stones under the water, brilliant. The detail on the rocks on the shore, and then the mountains and the clouds in the distance are just wonderful. And again, those colours, the way Metropolis handles these colours is just amazing. I think if there's one film I'd love to shoot more in the pinhole camera, it's going to be Metropolis, because it's just great, even though it does mean I need to buy colour film. But it's worth it, because Metropolis is just gorgeous. Then we've got the winch, and the winch is ahead of the boats, and you can see all Rassy in the background. You can see the headland in the background, and the winch looks really cool, even though the shadow of the camera is in the picture and my big head in the bottom left hand corner. But the details on the winch are nice. All the cogs and gears are there, and the reel that the rope will have spun on at one point. And yeah, there's just a lot of detail. I like the fact that there's a blue rope leading. It looks like it's leading from the winch, even though it's not, and it's leading to that ruined boat in the background, which leads me on to the next one, which is inside the boat. And I was kind of concerned about how well this one would work, and it works. It's very cool. There's ferns growing inside this thing. If you didn't know it was a boat, you wouldn't really know what you were looking at, but you can see all the details inside. There's a pole holding it up. The windows are letting in the light from the side. There's ropes and wires going everywhere. It's just a very cool image, and I'm really glad I took the chance to pop the camera inside there and use a frame to do this, because it worked really well. And with, you know, if it was in black and white, it probably wouldn't have worked as well, because the contrasting green and red of the seats is really nice, and you can see the sky outside. So I think if it was black and white, it wouldn't have the same impact as seeing this dead boat with life growing inside it. And it's really cool. And then I did a whole photo shoot with Emma. We went down to one of the waterfalls. I'm sure she'll be posting these on Instagram. I might even pop a couple up. And I did use a frame pointed at her in front of the waterfall, and her head's moving a little bit, but for the most part she stayed really still. And this is nice because you've got the lovely texture of the water in the background, and she's looking all beautiful on the rock. And that was pretty good. That was a nice day, actually. I used Portrait 800 and gold for some of the images down there. We got rained on, but it was worth it. And the last image from this lovely pinhole outing was the old post office. Now, I couldn't get inside, which is a shame, because I would have liked to have shot the inside. But the colours of this film have rendered it beautifully. The steel has come out like a greeny blue. The ferns in the foreground are kind of moving and rustling in the breeze. And then the red, the roof has gone this rusty red. And it's just gorgeous. It looks so sad and somber. And these colours add to that and just give it that extra just look of loneliness. It's such a good, strong image. I'm so pleased that I took the time to drive up there and have a look at this old post office. Anyway, the Strange Finder has once again proved its worth and showed us all how it's done. And really, it's looking at these pictures that made me realise I wanted to do this year, and the Strange Finder is the thing to be doing. And Pinhole is the thing to be, not just the Strange Finder, Pinhole. So, yeah, I'm really pleased with this set of images, and when I get round to making a book, I will include some of these in it. In fact, I'll probably include all of these in it. Anyway, one more left, and it's the store. So I'll see you.
You have been listening to Tales from the Magic Box. Me and Dante would like to say a massive thank you to Mike Gutterman for lending us some of his music for the show. It really means a lot to us, and it adds a whole other dimension to what would have been a pretty dull podcast otherwise. Also, thank you to Kevin McLeod for his wonderful opening music, and thank you to all you guys for listening. What do you think, Dante? Okay, I'll see you guys for the next one. Bye.